We are going to continue. We're about halfway through our sermon series on evangelism. It's week number 4. If you are following along in the study guide or part of a small group, next Sunday we're going to take a break for our fall conference and then finish up the last 2 weeks after that. So this is just getting into the second half. I hope that it's been encouraging to you as we have focused on this, that it's given you a fresh desire to let your light shine for Christ. As I think about last week's message, I hope that it has released you from some of the pressure that you might feel or this heaviness, kind of a negative sense of obligation that you might feel in sharing your faith. And I hope that that's been replaced with just a freedom and a hope to plant and water seeds, as we talked about last week, water seeds of the gospel in conversations that you have with unbelievers in your life. God is at work in people's lives. We heard that in Alice's testimony. We can see that as we see what he's doing in our community. He is at work, and he actually uses our efforts in planting seeds and watering seeds to bring about new life and bring about salvation in people's lives, and we are partners with him in this great calling. And so I hope this has been encouraging to you. This week, the study guide really focuses on the importance of our attitudes as we share the gospel, as we let our light shine in the community. Attitude matters big time. Attitude is very important. Attitude conveys things that maybe words can't, or more than words at times. If you have a bad attitude, even if you're doing something good, it can dismantle the good that you're trying to do. But on the other hand, if you have a good attitude, it can enhance what you're doing and give added benefit to that. So attitude is very important. We run into this in parenting. If you've been a parent, if you're a parent, we run into this all the time. So you tell your kids to do, I mean, I don't even need to say anything, but you tell your kids to do something, to help out around the house, and they whine and complain. They do it, but their attitude basically ruins whatever good they're doing. On the other hand, if they have a good attitude, it makes a huge difference, and it makes whatever they're doing that much better. They might even get a reward if you're still kids in here, hint, hint. You might even get a reward if you have a good attitude in doing your household chores, all right? So attitudes matter. We encounter this at work as well. So if someone has a bad attitude, it affects everyone around them. You've heard the saying, one bad apple ruins a whole bag or a whole batch, and that's really true in the workplace. Nobody enjoys work if somebody has a bad attitude. Regardless of how fun and rewarding it could be, it can totally change your work environment. But if somebody has a good attitude, it can just totally change things. People can enjoy being at work, even if it's mundane things, even if it's washing grease off of filters or whatever. I'm thinking back to my Taco Bell days. I actually enjoyed it because the work was horrible, but you know, the attitude changed everything. People can enjoy being at work, and you can even get a lot more done. So attitude matters. It makes a huge difference no matter what you're doing, and the same is true when it comes to letting your light shine, to sharing your faith, when you're planting those seeds and you're watering those seeds of truth in people's lives. Attitude makes a difference, but it can go both ways. So it can give a wonderful confirmation to what you're trying to say, and it can show the beauty and the wonder of the good news of Christ, or a bad attitude can dismantle what you are trying to say and what you're trying to do and make you and other Christians look like hypocrites. So attitude's a big deal when it comes to letting our light shine. I want you to think about the following attitudes that negatively or may negatively affect your efforts to share the gospel with people. So if you have a dutiful attitude, okay, so I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I have to do this. I'm going to do it, even though I don't really want to. Not going to go very well. A domineering attitude. Some people have this where, you know, I'm going to go out and win people to Christ, whether they're ready or not. I'm going to conquer them. Sullen attitude can be common, where you're going into it with the understanding, and there's truth in this, but the sullen attitude is that people are condemned, they're under God's wrath, there's real heaviness. I need to warn them about the danger they're in if they don't turn to Jesus. And that there's truth in that, but the attitude of sullenness and just heaviness can really affect that, because the news we have to share isn't this. The news we have to share is very joyful. That's what the study guide really gets into. Self-righteous attitude. As you share your faith, or as you just generally perceive yourself, it might be, you know, I'd better enlighten these foolish unbelievers who are controlled by their sinful passions, okay? I'm here to help them out. Or a hostile attitude. I see this too, where we see unbelievers who are really lifestyle choices, whatever, these nasty unbelievers are trying to ruin my life, and they don't even deserve to go to heaven. And so you probably wouldn't even share any seeds with them. So any of these attitudes can hinder the way that we come across when sharing our faith and letting our light shine. They don't accurately, for the most part, don't accurately express even what we're trying to share at all, because we have wonderful news to share. We have hope. Okay, we have encouragement in Christ. We have wonderful news, and it's really important that we have the right attitudes to go with it. And so the study guide focuses on two of those. The passage I'm going to use this morning picks up on one of those and brings in another one. There's a number of different attitudes that are very important. You could look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, if you want to, just a big thing. That's not the passage we're going to look at, but the passage we are going to look at is going to highlight two of these attitudes, and it's really a passage you can apply to any area of your life. This morning, we're going to apply it to sharing our faith, and this is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. These are going to be probably familiar verses for many of you, and this morning, I want to see them in light of evangelism. So let me read through those, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, so this was written by Paul to the church in Philippi. These are some general instructions. As you read through the context of the letter, just some general instructions. The nearest context had to do with a couple of prominent women in the church who were arguing, so we may have had that in mind, but I think this can be generally applied to our lives, and it certainly can be applied when it comes to evangelism, because really, evangelism, as we've been looking at it, is letting your light shine. It's living in a manner worthy of the gospel, and so these apply very much to what we're talking about. Paul begins, you can see, with this command to rejoice, and he repeats it. He says it two times, which shows you that this is very important. He sees that rejoicing is very important. What does it mean to rejoice? There's probably something that comes to your mind. What comes to my mind is like being glad in God, being joyful, having joy. But as I looked into it, there is more to it in this particular word than that. I looked up the Greek word behind it and found that it is closely connected to grace. Okay, grace and rejoice and joy are three different words, but in the Greek they all share the same root and the same core meaning. And so when Paul uses the word rejoice, grace is linked with that, and it means to delight in God's grace. So in order to do that, it means also to experience God's grace and to be glad for it, to delight in it. Grace, I want to talk about a little bit. As I looked up grace, because these are words we use in the church all the time, but sometimes we maybe don't understand them well. So I looked up grace, and it's very closely associated with kindness. God's kindness, his blessing, gift, okay? That should be the idea of grace. It's not payment for something, it is gift out of the kindness of the giver. And so God overwhelms us with his grace. We sang about it this morning, we rejoiced this morning, I'll get to that in a little bit. God's grace. Oh, I need to do this. We all need to do this on a regular basis. We need to focus on the gifts that God has given us, the blessings that he has given us, okay? Attitude adjustment needed. Focus on God's grace. It starts there. Delight in his grace. It's all the kindness and favor that has freely been given to us by God through Christ because of his deep love for us. So we don't do anything to earn these things. It's all gift. It's all given. It's all kindness. It includes many, many spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, including forgiveness of sins, adoption. The first song we sang, I noticed, oh, this goes perfect. Like adoption, we've been adopted as sons and daughters. We have received reconciliation. We have peace with God, okay? We have an open relationship with God that isn't there. The barriers of the penalty of sin is no longer there because of Christ. We've been given the gift of reconciliation and peace with God. We've been given the gift of eternal life and the hope that we have in the resurrection. And you can go on and on. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, Paul just goes through grace after grace after grace, spiritual blessing that we have because of Christ. That's all grace. We also have many earthly blessings in this life. So if you look around the room and you think about the relationships that you have within the church family and the blessing that the church is to you, that's God's grace. If you think about your family, your friends, the work, your health, the ability to work, your possessions, all these gifts, James says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, okay? This is all grace. It's overwhelming if you begin to think about his grace. And so now, when you come back to rejoicing, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, again, I will say rejoice. By commanding us to rejoice, what Paul's doing is he's calling us to focus on and delight in God's grace. Okay, he says it two times. It's very important. Rejoice. It's something that we can do internally in prayer. So in the mornings or whenever, when you're spending time with the Lord, praying, you can rejoice. It's something that you can do as you meditate on God's word. If you want many scriptures that have rejoicing built in them that you can pray back to God, you can go to the Psalms, are filled with them. Usually, you know, it's filled with rejoicings and then agonizings as well, but there's so much rejoicing in the Psalms that we can do. So it's those internal things. It's also outwardly rejoicing in praises, speaking praises to God, singing praises like we did this morning and we'll do later on and we do every Sunday. This is rejoicing. I was thinking this week, if you're one who, I don't have that great of a voice, I don't know how to sing and I don't like to sing, I encourage you to at least speak the words as we're singing them so that you are really walking in obedience to this command in this way of rejoicing. Because if you are speaking the words or singing the words and you're actually thinking about what we're singing, you're rejoicing. You could have the best voice in the room, but if you're not thinking about what you're saying, that's not rejoicing either. But rejoice in the Lord in these ways on Sunday mornings. I encourage you to engage. It's very important. That's why Paul repeats it. And it's important, rejoicing, because then of the effect it has on our lives. Okay? Rejoicing has an effect on our lives. It changes our outlook and it changes then our attitude. Okay? So this is where we get into attitude. Rejoicing, I don't see that as just an attitude. That's more like something that God commands us to do that I've defined. But as we do that, it then affects us internally and changes our attitude. It lifts our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and puts them on God and his goodness for us, and that changes our attitudes. And so as Paul continues, he writes about a couple of attitudes that spring forth from rejoicing. The first is reasonableness. Okay, that's a kind of a, I guess, odd word, reasonableness. There's a number of things that could come to mind. You think about what that means. In verse 5, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. So here's where I see, let your light shine. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. I looked that up. Reasonableness in the original language is defined as this: gentle, mild, patient, fair, reasonable, and moderate. Okay? I do think that this is linked in Paul's mind with rejoicing. As you rejoice and you get your eyes off your circumstances, you rejoice in the grace of God, reasonableness comes. Gentleness, gentleness, mild, patience, fairness, moderation. That's the effect that rejoicing has on your life. I met with a friend this week, and he was talking with me about when he gets overwhelmed. What he's done is he's bought pretty nice speakers and put them in his office, hundreds of dollars worth of speakers, and he has a playlist of worship music. And when he is overwhelmed by the circumstances in life, he will start to play he'll stop what he's doing, he'll play the playlist on these big speakers, and just rejoice, okay? Stop what you're doing, rejoice. And what he said is the effect that it has on him. He asked me, What is worship? How do you feel when you worship? And here's what he said. He said he feels secure. He feels safe. He's on steady ground. When he is reminded of God's goodness and his grace, it changes his attitude and it brings in reasonableness. And that's what I think Paul has in mind in these verses, this attitude of reasonableness that comes from rejoicing. And now think about, okay, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. As you go about life and you let your light shine and you look for those opportunities to plant seeds and water seeds, if you have this attitude of reasonableness, it will adorn the gospel that you share. So the seeds that you share will fit the attitude that you have in sharing them. You will have a gracious spirit toward others. There will be meekness and kindness. As you remember how God has poured out kindness upon you, you then will be able to pour out kindness on others, whether they deserve it in the moment or not. And that is the kind of attitude, at least one of the attitudes, that's compatible with sharing our faith. Attitude matters. Reasonableness is very important. Because if you think about it, if we're critical going into those situations, if we're looking down on, if we're judgmental toward others, especially toward the lost who really don't know any better, okay? We talked about a few weeks ago, the light that needs to turn on hasn't turned on yet. If we come in critical and judgmental toward them, or if we look at them with enmity, we treat them as enemies, or if we treat them as inferior because of their ongoing sin, if we come across as being condemning and judgmental, we're not representing the grace of God that has been demonstrated to us in the gospel. I think of, in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 4, I think this ties in. Paul talks about the gospel that he would preach, treasure in jars of clay. We have a treasure. We're just jars of clay, but our attitude needs to emulate the treasure. It needs to match the treasure that we have, and that comes from rejoicing. We need to be rejoicing, reasonable, letting our reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, Paul brings up another attitude. I'm calling it an attitude. It's prayerfulness, okay? An attitude of prayerfulness. I think there's attitude and there's action certainly mixed into this, but we'll go with attitude here this morning. Verse 6, he says, starting at verse 5, the Lord is at hand Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So as I look at how Paul writes this paragraph, if it starts with rejoicing, and if you rejoice in the Lord and remember that he is generous and kind and he has given countless blessings in Christ, then when you face those circumstances in life or the people in life that normally make you feel anxious, rather than giving into worry and fear that you naturally would and is easy to do, if you're overwhelmed by God's grace, you won't feel anxious. You'll have that reasonable attitude and you will pray. You'll ask the great giver who has given so much, and now I'm facing this difficulty in life, instead of just sitting there in my anxiousness, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to go to him and ask for help. So Paul says, present your requests to your gracious God who bestows bountiful blessings on his people. If you think about it in terms of sickness, if you have a sickness and it keeps getting worse, you wouldn't just sit around and worry about it, okay? Because we have doctors around, okay? We have hospitals, and you go to a doctor to ask for help because they have what you need, and they have what you need to find out what's wrong, first of all, and they have what you need most of the time in treating that, okay? You go. If you have an unexpected financial burden that comes up and you don't have enough money to pay for it at the time, you will go to a bank or maybe a family member who can help you get through. They have what you need, and so you go to them to help. And how much more when we face those difficult situations in our lives that bring up anxiousness and fear, should we go to our Heavenly Father who is rich in mercy and overwhelming and abundant in grace, who wants to help us in our time of need? We don't need to sit around and be anxious. If we are rejoicing in God, it will lead us into not only an attitude of reasonableness, but prayerfulness as well, and we will present our requests before him. So I think if you're like me, when you face those times in life where the opportunities come up and you're sharing your faith, that can be one, circumstances that produce anxiousness, right? Depending on who it is and how the situation is. There are people that we share with that can lead to anxiousness and worry. They aren't following the Lord yet. That can make us worry because that maybe they're a loved one. We care very much about them. We're worried about them. But we know that we have a God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that we have a God who delights in showing kindness to his people, who wants to help. He shows kindness to sinners. He shows forgiveness. All those spiritual blessings that we have experienced, that's who God is. That's what God does. He opens the eyes of the blind. He brings lost sheep into the fold. And so rather than being paralyzed in fear and anxiety when it comes to evangelism, let's go to the Lord and present our requests before him and ask him to save our lost ones, ask him to save our family members and our friends, ask him to move in the hearts of the people that don't know him. Maybe we don't even know them very well, co-workers or whoever. Ask that he would give you opportunities to share with them. Letting your light shine must go along with prayerfulness. It must go along with reasonableness, but it must also go along with prayerfulness. They go hand in hand. God is the one who changes people's hearts, and he wants us to come before him and ask in prayer and present our requests before him. Okay, and so we have these two attitudes that Paul presented. I think these are two big ones that are very important. The study guide will give you another one that's related to this. Reasonableness, prayerfulness, they both come from this practice of rejoicing in God, which we're going to do next. And so this week, if we're going to try to apply the scripture now to our lives, I think it has to start with rejoicing. Okay? It has to start with rejoicing. The reasonableness and the prayerfulness will spring forth out of the rejoicing, but it starts with rejoicing. So how can you make rejoicing a regular practice in your life? It could be that you have an office with speakers and you can blast worship music, or you have a car that you can turn to a worship station or put music on. It might be, I really encourage you to take time to just be quiet before the Lord. And this is one of the things that I'm trying to do at this time, is to rejoice in Him. There's a lot of things that can weighing me down, can get me down, and my attitude can just be blah. And so this is very practical for me, that I'm trying to rejoice in God. Maybe you want to turn to some of those Psalms and prayerfully read through them, okay? Rejoice in God. Experience and delight in the grace of God. Keep pressing in until you experience that joy and delight in Him, and then let your reasonableness that comes forth from that be evident to everyone, and be quick to turn to God in prayer. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for our community. That's why, you know, every Sunday we're praying for our community, but we need to pray for our community and our lost neighbors and coworkers, and we need to pray for ourselves. Pray for yourself. Okay, God, give me the courage and the boldness to say something today. Not force a conversation, but when the opportunity comes, as I'm letting my light shine, to enter in and talk to somebody about their faith and about the Lord and about the good news. Let's pray. Father, we have very practical things today that I think all of us deal with and encounter in our lives. Our attitudes affect us so much. You know, some of us came in this morning and it felt like a dark cloud over our lives, and some of us felt like the sun was shining. Lord, attitude, I pray you've given us a way here to affect our attitude by rejoicing in you, and I pray that you would help us by the power of your Spirit to be people who rejoice in you, so that as we go out and let our light shine this week, people will see our reasonableness, and as we go through the week, we'll be prayerful. We'll be praying for the people around us and praying for ourselves, Lord. I pray that you would work out these practical things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.